Let's pray. We often say that and talk about the importance of prayer. We're going to be doing some of that today. We're not just going to talk about prayer. We're actually going to pray this morning in place of our sermon. We're going to be praying this morning instead of just talking about praying.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Now this is a part where normally we'd be preparing for a sermon about a 30 to 35 minute, rather 40 to 45 minute message. And that was going to be what was going to happen today until yesterday morning. And I was struck with just a very strong impression, I guess you'll just say that, that we need to pray, that we need to pray, that the sermon, the message that was going to bring today can wait, and that what is needed right now is prayer, a strong conviction that we need to pray, that we need to commune with the Lord, we need to pray for one another, we need to pray for the church, we need to pray for the community. Because, you know, we talk a lot in the church about prayer, but let's be honest, we don't always pray as much as we should, do we? And whether that is personally, individually, or even when we are gathered together as a body of Christ, I think we need to pray more than we do, not just talk about it, but do it together. And it seems that when we do pray, we are all too often focused on our needs and concerns, which God certainly invites us to bring them to Him. But we're so focused on those needs and concerns that we neglect what is most important, and that is that communion or that relationship with God that takes place in prayer, that sweet hour of prayer. I've been challenged recently by an author. He is a pastor named Daniel Henderson, who has now transitioned into the full-time ministry of prayer, of going about and teaching churches how to pray together. And he wrote a book called Fresh Encounters with the Lord, and about the importance of the church body praying together. Usually for us, prayer tends to be, it's either something we're doing individually, right? Or maybe in like a small group setting, a Bible study. Or if we're in the church building here, then it's just, well, there's one person up front and everyone has their heads bowed. We need to pray together and listen to one another and seek the Lord together. Well, in his book, Fresh Encounters, I think Henderson gives us an example of what our attitude should be in approaching the Lord in prayer. Now, I want you to imagine that I'm standing up here right now and I am holding in my hand a stack, a great big stack of $100 bills. Now, I do not have a stack of $100 bills, so this $20 bill is going to suffice in its place, okay? Now, I noticed you're all looking at that right now. But I want you to imagine if I was holding this big stack of money in my hand and I asked you to come up and talk to me, that if you were to come and talk to me and you were focused the entire time staring at that money, you were making conversation like you were interested in me, like, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing, Pastor? It's really, really good to see you. So how's everything? Things going? Well, that's great, that's great. And the whole time, your eyes are zoomed right in on that stack of money. How different would that be, though, if you were to come up and instead of looking at this at all, you were looking at me and you were talking with me and you genuinely wanted to know me and have a relationship with me, and you're not even thinking about that. And then perhaps in time after that, when that relationship is established there, then maybe I take you out for a nice dinner with some of that money there and continue the conversation. Well, what is the point of this? Well, sometimes that's how we approach prayer, don't we? Instead of coming to the Lord and talking with the Lord and building that relationship with Him, we're focused on this, on, Lord, I need you to give me something or do something for me. Maybe we're going through the motions of talking with Him, but this is really what we're most concerned about in prayer. And is that the right attitude for us to take in approaching the Lord in prayer? I don't think so. I think the Lord wants us to focus on Him and on our relationship with Him. He wants us to seek Him and not just the gifts or the things that He can do for us. And I'm not saying those things that we ask of Him or what we want Him to do are necessarily bad things or selfish things, but He wants us to focus first and foremost on Him and on our relationship with Him. And He will give then as He wills and provide those things as they are needed. In fact, you know, I found it interesting this morning. Saw in the news that there was a charity auction where, you know, the billionaire investor Warren Buffett, who's known as the Oracle of Omaha, recently they put an opportunity to have lunch for him, to have lunch with him, bid it out, and the proceeds would go to charity. Would you believe someone paid $2.63 million to have lunch with Warren Buffett? Obviously, someone has a lot of money. You wonder if they have enough money to do that. Why do they need to have lunch with Warren Buffett, right? But $2.63 million to have lunch with Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha. And you know what? It doesn't cost us a penny to have lunch with, to commune with the Sovereign Lord, the Creator of the universe. Some people get a little nervous at the thought of public prayer. And if that is you, I want you to know you don't have to speak out loud. You can pray quietly. This is not a time to make someone who... Some people really struggle with praying in front of others or getting up and speaking in front of others. And if that's you, you don't have to do that. I don't want anybody to be nervous here or feeling like, uh-oh, he's going to put us all on the spot and make us get up and pray. If you can't do that, you don't have to do that. But I do want to encourage all of us to pray, whether it's quietly or standing up and speaking in front of others here. I want us all to be open then, too, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's going to happen here this morning. And if you're like me, that actually makes me a little nervous. I like to be in control. Has anyone noticed that sometime? Do we have any people here who like to be in control of things and what's happening? Yeah. But in approaching the Lord, that's not so good, is it, to have a mindset of control, trying to control the Lord, trying to dictate to God how we want things to go. In fact, I said in Sunday school this morning, we were touched on that subject a little bit about trying to dictate to God. And it's, I said, you know, it's a little bit like standing on the tracks in front of a great big Metra train, you know, and standing in front of it and living it and saying and trying to hold it back and saying, no, 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 you're not going there. And that's pretty ridiculous, that thought, right? Well, in the same way, who are we to try to tell God what He can and can't do and try to dictate to God? So I'm asking that we would come before the Lord this morning together in His presence to worship Him, to confess our sins, to give thanks to Him, and to bring our needs and concerns then before Him. First, I'd like us to focus on worshiping the Lord, on who God is, on His character and on His being, on His greatness. And to guide our thoughts here, I want to read from the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 8, that is a reflection on the majesty of God, on the greatness of God. So, if you would you quiet your heart now before the Lord? Ask Him to speak to you this morning. Ask Him to speak through you this morning. And contemplate who God is and the greatness of God. The psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, You have ordained praise because of Your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him? the Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. First, let's worship. Let us worship the Lord. When we worship, what do? We are declaring the worthiness of God, the worthiness of God for our praise, for our adoration, for our faith, for our obedience. And worship isn't just singing a song, isn't it? It is a lifestyle. It is an attitude. It's a way of living that acknowledges the greatness of God and his worthiness to be believed, to be trusted, to be praised, to be obeyed. So let's focus then on the majesty of God, the exalted Lord. We often talk about the attributes of God. What are the attributes of God? And here's a little participation time here now. What are the attributes of God, the characteristics of God? What are some of them?
Holy.
Holy. God is holy. It means what? He is completely separate from sin. In fact, again, the scriptures say God, he cannot even be tempted by sin. He is utterly other, holy, and righteous. What else is God?
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent, which is what? He has all power. Is there anything that is too difficult for God to do? There is absolutely nothing that can stand in the way between what God desires and the accomplishment of that desire if he wills it to be so. God can do all things. He has all power. What else is God like?
Jealous.
A jealous God. Okay, Jim, what does that mean? Okay. Okay, God wants to be first. Does he deserve to be first in our hearts and our hearts' affections? Absolutely, he does. And is it because he just has to be first and he can't stand it if he's not? No, it is what? It is blessing. It's blessing. We're blessed that he's a jealous God. And it is to our detriment when we worship anything other than him, isn't it? Okay, what else is God like? What was that? Faithful, okay? God is faithful. He will never leave us or forsake us. Always accessible, isn't he?
Merciful.
He's merciful.
Omnipresent. He's
omniscient. He is everywhere. He knows. He's omniscient. He knows all things. You think about that. God knows everything there is to know. He knows the thought, every thought, word, and deed of every person who has ever lived and ever will. He knows everything about you right now. He knows the location of every atom and particle in the universe right now.
He's patient.
How many of you here are thankful God's patient? I am. And he's love. He's love. Could you imagine a God who had all power and all knowledge, but was not love? But he is just, though, too, isn't he? But he's just. Army? That's right.
He is always truthful.
That's right. He is always truthful. We can trust his word, can't we? He's not going to lie or deceive. I think it's a lot for us to think about, isn't it? About the majesty of God. Well, why don't we take some time here and thank him. Now, I want you to know that sometimes we are a little reluctant to pray, and especially in a public setting, because we think that we have to adopt some sort of formal tone and certain words, and we have to start saying things like, "O Lord, we beseech thee," and things like that. But you know what? Prayer is a conversation with God, isn't it? And we can talk to God the same way we talk to one another. And so with that conversational tone, let's just take some time here now to worship God in prayer, reflecting upon His majesty and His worthiness. And maybe here's a thought to guide your thinking on this is, you know, because God is love, I know that He holds me securely in His hand, that He loves me. Because He's faithful, I know that He's going to continue on to complete the work He's begun in me. Whatever, that's just a thought, something to guide us. Because God is, I can what? Or whatever else as the Spirit leads. Let's pray. Before we ask anything of the Lord, I think it is important for us first to be clean before the Lord. Now we know that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been declared righteous and forgiven of all of our sin, and yet as we go through life, we pick up what you will might call that traveling dirt that needs to be washed. Those are those sins that need to be confessed. And I want to read the words of the psalmist from Psalm 32, where he says, Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Let's take a moment then to confess our sin. I want you to know this is a private time here. You do not have to stand up and confess your sin before us all. But when I say that, I'm not excluding that possibility. If there is something on your heart that you feel needs to be confessed publicly, I will not say no to that. But let's take some time then and let us confess our sin before the Lord so that we might come before Him with clean hearts and clear consciences. Let's pray. Lord, we admit that we are a sinful people. And while we stand before you righteous by faith, holy in Jesus Christ, we know that the reality is this within us remains that sinful capacity, that rebellious will that chooses to go our own ways. And Lord, that rebellious nature expresses itself in all kinds of different ways in our lives. Whether it is through anger or bitterness, a lack of forgiveness. It's through deception, manipulation of others. A lack of control, laziness, lust, greed. A lack of love, Lord, for you. A lack of love for you and for others. Lord, this rebellious nature may express itself in countless different ways within us. But whatever it is, we are so thankful that as we confess these things before you, that you cleanse, that you forgive, and that you cleanse us. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman whose sins are covered. So we thank you, Lord, for this forgiveness. We thank you that we can come before you now with clean hearts and clear consciences. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not only to come before the Lord with clear consciences, clean hearts, we're also told to come before him with thanksgiving. And the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's give thanks this morning to the Lord. I wonder if maybe just one sentence here. What are you thankful for this morning? I am thankful for all of you and the blessing that you are to me, the encouragement that you are to me, your love for me and to me. And most of all, thankful to our Lord that for my salvation, our salvation, and the fact that on this earth, he lets me do what I get to do, that I get to be here and I get to serve you in this way. Because I don't deserve it. Trust me, I really don't deserve it. So I am very thankful for that. Well, there are lots of things that we can give thanks for. But in that spirit now, acknowledging the greatness of God, coming before him with a clean heart, coming before him with thanksgiving in our hearts, let's bring to him our needs and our concerns. And I know there are some here this morning. And what does the Lord tell us? He says in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Let's petition the Lord this morning. And I want to start with this family right here. that I know there is a concern you've been following. Many of you know if you don't. We're concerned for Lynn Fumetto, Mary Beth's sister, that she is in the hospital, and she has not been well, and it just seems like the more they investigate this, the more serious it seems to be getting here. And so at this point, they're saying that it's something called an aortic dissection, which is like a little tear inside the wall of the aorta. And that's, of course, something that can be very, very serious, as well as the possibility of some blood clots a blood clot leading into the artery of her kidney. That's a possibility as well they're looking at. So right now, her kidneys are not functioning. There is that aortic dissection. And it's a serious matter here. And so we want to be lifting her up in prayer. So let's start by praying for Pat, or praying for Lynn. And of course, as we're doing that, we're remembering this is all on top of with Pat's home going this last week. And unfortunately, Lynn was not able to attend the funeral. And I know that really, she was very, wounded by that and unable to do that. And so we need to pray for her, but we then also need to pray for Mary Beth and for Matt and for all the family who are caring for her and doing this on top of Mom's home going as well. And so let's pray with maybe a couple of people like to pray for Lynn and for Mary Beth and that whole family this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray for Lynn that you would act in a mighty way, Lord, that you would heal up this problem with her aorta, resolve this problem with her kidneys, that the kidney functions would return, Lord, to normal. Restore her to health, that we will continue to see that smiling face and hear that wonderful laugh here in this church for many years to come, Lord. She is our sister. We love her dearly. We put her in your hands, Lord. And we pray that not only for her, but for her family members, for her brothers and sisters, for her children and her grandchildren, especially those, Lord, those family members who are here right now in this sanctuary. God, we ask for your peace for them. Bestow your great peace through your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon them now. Lord, we do want to pray for the lost that are around us. Lord, some of them are in our own families. Maybe it's a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker. Lord, they are all around us, and they are all around us in this community. Lord, we don't exist here for ourselves. We don't exist here to come in and like this is a social club of some sort. And while we enjoy, Lord, fellowship in one another's company, we're not here just to enjoy one another. Lord, we are here to worship you. We're here to fulfill your will and your purposes. And that great will that you have, Lord, for us, for your church, is to make disciples. So, Lord, we pray for those lost people around us, that there are family members, friends, neighbors. God, would you use us to touch their hearts and to bring the truth of the gospel to them? That we're not preaching religion here, Lord. We're preaching hope and faith. We are preaching, Lord, the good news that there's forgiveness and eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would you use Danielle? Would you use me? Would you use all of us here, Lord, that we are imperfect vessels, we know. But would you use us, Lord, to communicate that wonderful good news and work in the hearts, Lord, of these lost men and women. Right now of us, Lord, all of us, we're thinking of someone, Lord. We have a name, we have a face in mind right now. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in that person's heart, regenerate that heart, make them come alive to you. Enlighten them to understand the gospel and believe. Use us, Lord. Use others to help them to understand this isn't religion. This is hope and faith. This is eternal life through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Lord, we do believe and we trust you. We trust you in all things. Our desire, Lord, is that your will be done in our lives, in this church, in this community. And whatever that may entail, Lord, may your Spirit continue to work in us to prepare us for that. Create in us the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. do through us the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is, Lord, with thanksgiving and eagerness that we anticipate his sure and certain return. May we be ready for that, Lord. May we be ready to stand before you one day. We want to hear him say to us, Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. And in all of these things, then, Lord, we give you thanks as we pray. Would you stand as we close in prayer? Now, before we pray, I'd like us to say, if you really believe this in your heart, would you say to him now, I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. If you believe this in your heart, would you say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. If this is in your heart, would you say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Would you say in your heart, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for this time of prayer that we've had. And God, I pray that I know that your Spirit has been working in hearts here, that even as we have heard what has been voiced, we've heard it in our ears, Lord, I know that there have been many other conversations, dialogues going on that have been happening in the quietness of our own hearts. And I pray, Lord, again, that your will be done in all of these situations. I pray, Lord, that we would be a church with a passion for knowing you, a passion for your word, a passion for prayer. Be exalted in this church, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.